This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to avoid defensive reactions in arguments. A practical guide to staying grounded when conflict pushes you toward the edge. In short, defensive reactions in arguments are not a character flaw. They are a physical threat response that fires faster than conscious thought. You can interrupt that response with a deliberate process. Recognize your personal early warning signs before the reaction fully takes hold. Use a structured pause to create distance between the trigger and your response. Re-engage from a position of curiosity rather than self-protection. Definition: defensive reactions in arguments occur when your nervous system interprets criticism, challenge, or disagreement as a threat to your identity or safety. The brain triggers a protective response before rational thought can intervene, producing counterattack, withdrawal, or emotional shutdown. Picture this. A colleague raises an issue with your approach in a team meeting. You know, even as the words leave your mouth, that your response is too sharp, too quick. You hear yourself justifying, deflecting, and then attacking their point before they have finished speaking. The meeting ends badly. The relationship takes a quiet hit. And later, alone, you cannot quite explain why you responded the way you did. That is how defensive reactions in arguments work. They're fast, instinctive, and almost always costly. I have been there more times than I care to count, and the hardest truth I ever accepted was this. I was not reacting to what was actually said. I was reacting to what I feared it meant about me. This article gives you a practical, numbered process for interrupting that reaction before it takes the conversation somewhere you will regret. Why emotional control in conflict feels almost impossible. The difficulty is not laziness or weak character. It is biology. When your brain registers a threat, whether physical or social, it triggers a cascade of physiological arousal. Your heart rate climbs. Your thinking narrows. Your body prepares to fight, flee, or freeze. This happens in milliseconds, well before your conscious mind has had a chance to assess whether the threat is real. You can read more about the mechanics of this in the article What is the Amygdala Hijack? And how it silently blocks team synergy in high-pressure moments. The problem is that your nervous system cannot easily distinguish between a charging animal and a challenging colleague. Both can feel like a threat to your survival, because one of them is a threat to something you care deeply about: your competence, your reputation, your sense of being valued. And once the threat response fires, it hijacks the very faculties you need to respond well. This is why simply deciding to stay calm really works under real pressure. Willpower alone cannot override a physiological response that is already running. What you need instead is a prepared system that you can activate before the hijack takes hold. What you need to have in place before any argument begins. The process I am about to give you depends on one thing being true: you must have already done some preparation. Not scripted conversations or rehearsed rebuttals. Something quieter than that. You need to know your personal warning signs. Everyone's threat response has a signature: a flush of heat, a tightening in the chest, a sudden urge to interrupt, a retreat into silence. Most people have never mapped their own. Without that map, you will miss the window where the reaction is still interruptible. You also need to have decided, in advance, that your goal in any difficult conversation is understanding before resolution, not winning, not defending your position. Understanding. If you enter a conflict without that commitment already in place, with threat response will set your goal for you, and it will choose self-protection every time. Take 10 minutes before this matters to you to write down your 3 clearest early warning signs and your single stated goal for hard conversations. Keep it somewhere you will actually look at it. The 6-step process for staying in control when arguments turn heated. Step 1. Catch the first physical signal. The moment you feel any of your personal warning signs, treat it as an alarm, not a diagnosis, not a judgment, an alarm. This requires you to split your attention, one part engaged in the conversation, one part monitoring your internal state. That sounds difficult, and it is at first. With practice, it becomes a background habit. The goal at this step is simply to notice that your threat response is beginning to activate before it fully takes hold. Say to yourself internally, I am starting to feel activated. That naming alone begins to create a small, but vital distance between you and the reaction. Step 2. Cause before you respond. This is the most important step in the entire process. Everything else depends on it. Do not fill the pause with justification or planning your rebuttal. Simply stop. Take one slow breath. Give yourself 4 or 5 seconds before your mouth opens. This is not a strategy for appearing calm. It is a physiological intervention. Slow breathing directly signals your nervous system to step down from the threat response. How the amygdala hijacks sabotages feedback conversations and what to do about it explains why this window of pause matters so much for getting your rational mind back online. If the pause feels uncomfortable, that discomfort is the work. Sit in it. Step 3. Name the emotion internally, not out loud. Before you respond to what was said, identify what you are actually feeling. Not what you think. Not what you want to argue. What you feel. Angry. Embarrassed. Threatened. Undervalued. Put a word to it, silently. This step is drawn from decades of watching people make the same mistake. They speak from the emotion without ever naming it, and so the emotion drives the language. When you name the feeling first, you create just enough distance to choose your words rather than have them chosen for you. This is not the same as telling the other person how you feel. That comes later, if it comes at all. This step is entirely internal. Step 4. Ask one clarifying question. Instead of responding to what you think was meant, ask about what was actually said. One question. Specific and genuinely curious, not sarcastic. For example, if a colleague says, "I think your approach to this project has been off," a defensive impulse might be to immediately counter with reasons why your approach was correct. Instead, try, "Can you tell me which part of the approach concerns you most?" This single question does 3 things at once. It confirms you are still listening. It buys your nervous system more time to regulate. And it often reveals that the perceived attack was less pointed than your threat response made it feel. You can explore this receiving posture further in the art of receiving feedback gracefully. Step 5. Separate the message from the delivery. People under pressure do not always say things well. They are blunt when they should be careful, or indirect when they should be clear. If you react to the delivery rather than the content, you will miss what might be a legitimate an important point buried underneath the clumsy phrasing. Train yourself to ask one internal question at this step. Is there something true in this, regardless of how it was said? You do not have to agree with the criticism to extract the kernel of value in it. Sometimes there is nothing there. But you will not know until you look, and defensiveness prevents you from looking at all. This shift from reacting to the tone toward engaging with the substance is central to how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction teaches in practice. Step 6. Respond to the issue, not the threat. Now, and only now, form your response. Focus it on the specific issue that was raised, not on defending your identity or countering the other person's character. Concrete language helps here. Instead of "I strongly disagree with that characterization," try, "I see it differently. Here is what I was trying to achieve with that approach." One statement defends you. The other engages the substance. The first escalates. The second opens a path through. This is also the step where you acknowledge what was valid in what you heard. That acknowledgement does not weaken your position. It earns you the respect and the space to be heard in return. Read more on building this skill in How to Receive Feedback Without Getting Defensive, The GROW Method Explained. When the other person is also defensive. The 6 steps above work for your own regulation. But what happens when the person across from you is already reactive, when their defensiveness is feeding yours? The first thing to understand is that in a highly charged exchange, one person's threat response can trigger another's. This is how conflicts escalate without either party consciously choosing it. Signs your team's amygdala hijack problem is destroying synergy in real time describes this pattern with striking clarity. In these situations, the process stays the same, but you add one element to reduce the perceived threat to the other person before you continue with your own point. You do this not by backing down from your position, but by naming what you see without judgment. Try something like, "I can see this is a difficult conversation. I want to get this right between us. Can we slow down for a moment?" That kind of statement de-escalates because it signals that you're not attacking, that you see the person, not just the problem. How to respond when a team member reacts defensively to synergy-focused feedback offers a detailed framework for exactly this scenario. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people get this wrong. The mistake. Using the pause as time to build a counterargument. Why it happens. The threat response is still running, and the mind fills the gap with justification. What to do instead? During the pause, focus only on your breathing and on what you actually heard. Save your response for after you've genuinely processed the other person's words. The mistake. Confusing naming your emotion with displaying it. Why it happens. People think emotional awareness means sharing every feeling in real time. What to do instead? Keep step 3 internal. Name the emotion to yourself. Only surface it aloud if doing so genuinely serves the conversation. And even then, speak it as information rather than an accusation. The mistake. Asking the clarifying question with a sharp or disbelieving tone. Why it happens. The question is right, but the threat response is still shaping the delivery. What to do instead? Before you ask, soften your nonverbal cues first. Lower your shoulders. Slow your speech. Then ask. The question and the tone must match, or the other person will hear the tone and dismiss the words. The mistake. Skipping the step of separating message from delivery when the delivery is genuinely poor. Why it happens. Anger at how something was said feels like a valid reason to dismiss what was said. What to do instead? Address the delivery separately if necessary. First extract whatever value exists in the content, then, if appropriate, raise how the message was delivered. Do not collapse the two. Your pre-argument readiness check. Use this before any conversation you know is likely to be difficult. Number 1. Have I identified my 3 clearest early warning signs for this type of conversation? Number 2. Have I stated my goal for this conversation? Understanding first. Resolution second. Number 3. Do I have a single clarifying question prepared in case I feel triggered? Number 4. Am I willing to acknowledge what might be valid in the other person's position, even if I disagree with how they raised it? Number 5. Have I decided in advance that I will pause before I respond, no matter what? Number 6. Am I physically regulated enough to enter this conversation right now? If not, is this the right moment? If you cannot answer yes to all 6, you are not ready. This is not weakness. This is the kind of honest preparation that turns a potentially damaging exchange into a productive one. The people who handle conflict well do not leave these questions to chance. Frequently asked questions. What causes defensive reactions in arguments? Defensive reactions in arguments are triggered when your brain perceives a threat to your identity, reputation, or self-worth. The threat response fires before your rational mind can intervene, producing withdrawal, counterattack, or shutdown. Understanding this physical process is the first step toward managing it. How do you stop defensive reactions in arguments before they escalate? You stop defensive reactions in arguments by recognizing your personal warning signs early, creating a deliberate pause before responding, and naming the emotion internally rather than expressing it reactively. The pause is the most powerful tool. Without it, your threat response controls the conversation. Why do defensive reactions in arguments make conflict worse? Defensive reactions signal to the other person that you are no longer listening, only protecting yourself. This triggers their own threat response, and the conversation shifts from problem-solving to combat. Both people stop hearing each other, and the original issue gets buried under layers of emotional noise. Can you train yourself to have fewer defensive reactions? Yes. Emotional control in conflict is a skill, not a fixed personality trait. With consistent practice over weeks and months, your pause between trigger and response grows longer. You learn to recognize your early warning signs faster and choose your response rather than being driven by instinct. What should you say when you feel yourself getting defensive? The most effective script is simple and direct. Say out loud or internally, I'm going to take a moment before I respond. Then ask a clarifying question about what the other person said. This redirects your mental energy from self-defense to understanding and buys time for your rational mind to engage. How does emotional control affect conflict resolution? Emotional control is the foundation of every effective conflict resolution method. Without it, no framework or communication technique works because the rational mind is offline. When you master the ability to stay regulated under pressure, you can listen clearly, speak precisely, and find genuine resolution faster. Here is what I know after 6 decades of getting this wrong, and slowly getting it right. You will never stop your defensive reactions entirely, and you should not try. They are part of you. What you can do, with practice, is shorten the window between trigger and choice until that window is wide enough for your better judgment to step through. Managing defensive reactions in arguments is not about becoming someone who never feels threatened. It is about becoming someone who decides what happens next. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.